All right, Joseph. Good evening. Let's begin. So it's exciting to resume our Rabbi Nachman shir. So Meretz Hashem for this new tikkufa, for this new period of time, I want to switch gears a little bit. In our last year, we're focusing on the Rebbe's Likutei Halachos, which we're really tying into the Rebbe's commentary on the parasha. What I really would like to do is go back a little bit to basics and focus on the Likutei Moharan. Remember again, the primary bulk of Rabbi Nachman's writing was compiled by his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson, and Rabbi Nosson compiled it in what's called the Likutei Moharan. Likutei means the collections, Moharan, Morenu Harav, Rabbeinu Nachman. Rabbi Nachman did not write down any of his own teachings, but instead again, his Talmud went ahead and wrote them down. So the truth is, to understand the real power of Rabbi Nachman's thought and his philosophy, so one ultimately goes ahead, one really has to learn the Likutei Moharan. So the Likutei Moharan is a very difficult sefer, an exceptionally difficult sefer, because the wording is a bit cryptic, the ideas are a bit esoteric. So it happens over the summer, I came across an edition of the Likutei Moharan with the Perush Shalom Malchus, written by Rav Shalom Arush, who is the Mechaber, the Brez Lover Chassid. He's the Mechaber of Gan Emunah, Garden of Emunah, a variety of different svarim. So he wrote a perush, really not a perush, almost like a translation / commentary on the Likutei Moharan. And the truth is, it's absolutely fantastic, and I think really makes the entire sefer so accessible. So what we're going to focus on in this Emirat Hashem new machzer, you know, this new series, is the Likutei Moharan. We're going to start from the beginning, work our way through. We're not necessarily going to do every piece of every Torah, but we'll at least get the thematic overtone. So with that, let's begin. So if we take a look on the sheets that I gave you, we're starting in paragraph A. So first of all, thank you to the Ehrenfelds for opening their home. Mamish, it's like full service. There's chalent, there's a fire, there's beautiful chevra, there's mashke. Thank you. And Mamish, and all on an Erev Shabbos. Incredible. So we'll say with that, let's begin. Paragraph A. Duh. So we'll say, just so you see how this is set up, The bolded part is the quote from the Likutei Moharan, is the quote from Rabbi Nachman, and the unbolded part, that's the perush, that's the commentary. So he says, "Da, mekubo harav me'arav hamagid mitaretz shakom makom shrabenu mishtamish beloshon da himshich hasaga zumi olam hagava mikrom ola atzilus." So first of all, this is just an interesting note. Whenever Rabbi Nachman writes "da," no. No means that this is a piece of information that the Rebbe gleaned from the celestial sphere. That, you know, the Rebbe, whatever you want to call it, Ruach HaKodesh, or just some kind of other general insight. So the Rebbe ultimately, again, understood things on a different level, understood things on a different plane. So whenever you see the Lashon of Duh, no, Duh means that the Rebbe is conveying to us that came down to him from HaKodesh Baruch Hu. What does the Rebbe say? See, the Rebbe says something amazing. It is through Torah that, listen to these words, it is through Torah that one's tfilos and supplications are accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, so understand the profundity of this. So normally we create a dichotomy between Torah and tefillah, right? So Torah represents our learning. Tefillah represents prayer, and we often assume that ultimately, again, there are two distinct things. The Rebbe says that they are intertwined. Tefillah is the way that we establish a dialogical bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way we create a connection. Tefillos is when we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we need. But what's the secret to having your tefillos answered? You don't need a secret here, your tefillos heard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears every tefillah. But my goal is that I want my tefillos to be accepted, to be heard, to be answered. Torah. Torah, when a person engages in Torah, that is what allows for the effectiveness of tefillah. So we'll say, so this in and of itself is a fascinating idea. This interconnectedness between Torah and tefillah. The reason why this is also very interesting is because, remember, Hasidus, in general, by the Baal Shem Tov, was a movement that was founded in order to create a Judaic access point for the common folk. The Baal Shem Tov saw that Yiddishkeit, that Torah, really became the domain of the elite. People who knew how to learn, people who had intellectual prowess, people who could sit in yeshiva. What about the farmer? What about the shoemaker? What about the simple Jew? So the Baal Shem Tov opened up Yiddishkeit and really taught a concept that as long as you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with sincerity, whether that's with your Gemara, or whether it's with your Tehillim, or whether it's with the Nigin that you sing, as long as you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a sincere heart, you have a place in the fold, you have a place in the Am. So it's interesting that Rabbi Nachman is coming along and saying, yes, Tefillah is incredible, and Tefillah is powerful, but the full effectiveness of Tefillah is only unlocked and unleashed if what? If a person learns. Tefillah without Torah is ineffective. Tefillah without Torah is stunted. A person davens with Kavanah, and then the Torah allows the Tefillah ultimately again to ascend and ultimately be heard.
That was his own, or is it a backlash to criticism?
Rabbi Nachman, remember, it's important to understand, Rabbi Nachman was an incredible Talmud Chacham. Right? Rabbi Nachman chazered Shas and Shulchan Aruch every month. So Rabbi Nachman, I don't know. It's hard to know what's a reaction versus what's his own shita, but just gauging by his own life and his own incredible involvement in Torah, I think this is him l'shitaso. Now again, I'll point out that Rabbi Nachman is definitely unique amongst, you know, Hasidic personalities. We saw that already throughout our years of studying Rabbi Nachman. He has some novel ideas, novel approaches. This idea, I just think, is so profound. Tefillah is effective, but the full effectiveness of Tefillah can only be unlocked if a person is engaged in Torah. He goes on, paragraph B. Hachin ha'pinimi v'achashivos ha'chitzoni shel Yisrael nis'ale v'nisromi b'fnei kol mi she'tzrichen lo heim baruchni heim v'gashmi. So we'll say here, the Rebbe says something else that is incredibly amazing. And we have to analyze, you know, in the Kote Moharan, every word requires analysis. So here the Rebbe, the thesis statement is, Tefillah is powerful, but Tefillah is only powerful if its full potency is unlocked by Torah. Now, now the Rebbe is going to expand on that concept. V'achin ha'pnimi. So we'll say, we're going to say these terms and then we'll explain them afterwards. Chen ha'pnimi means, we'll say, how would you translate chen?
Grace.
Favor, grace.
Charm.
Right? I'm sorry?
Charm.
So there's not a good English word for it. You know, when you want to describe someone who just has like a beautiful aura to them, you say that person has a chen. Like that person has chen. So the English translation often is our favor, right? Find like, right? Noach matzah chen b'ene Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of God. But chen means something much more than that. Okay, so we'll call it chen. So Rebbe says, ha-chen ha-pnimi. So the inner chen that a person possesses. Va-ha-chashivos ha-chitzoni. So the Rebbe describes two things. There's an inner chen and an outer chashivos. Bosi, you hear this? Mm-hmm. An inner chen and an outer chashivos. We'll define what those terms mean in just a moment. Shel Yisrael. So every Jew apparently possesses an inner chen, or this inner charm, favor, grace, this inner chen, and an external importance. So, this alev in Esram b'fnei kol mi shetzrichen, heim beruchni heim begashmi. The chen happening, the inner chen of the Jew, and the external chashivas, the external importance of the Jew, become apparent to everyone around them. Now we're going to define, because this is incredible. Look, skip to paragraph C. What does this mean? The Chan Yesh LaDayik. So this is now Rav Shalom Arush's commentary on the Kutim Maran. He's explaining the statement. So we'll say, by the way, you can begin to see how difficult it is to learn this Sefer. Because imagine, remember again, just so you understand, the bolded lines are Rabbi Nachman's words. The unbolded lines are the commentary. You can see how much commentary there is for every bolded line, which gives you an incredible insight just into the profundity of this work. So listen to this explanation. The Chan Yesh LaDayik B'Lashon Rabbeinu Shehid Gishvamer Hachin Ha'amiti Ha'amiti Daika Ki Yesh. So listen to this. So remember again, what the Rebbe described is that every Jew has a Chen Pnimi. Chen Pnimi, an inner Chen. But then the Rebbe described that a Jew, as opposed to, let's say, the rest of humanity, has what's called a chen amiti, a true chen, a true chen. What does this mean? Listen to this. I'll tell you something amazing, by the way. Last night, at my women's shir, so one of the women had, usually the women are pretty good with like silencing their phones beforehand. So one of them must have done something. Siri was on. So I posed the question, right? I was like, what do you think makes great people great? And I hear, what makes great people great? It was mamish. So I just said, I can't believe it. It's like, I got to do this in sheer preparation. Mamish, if I could just ask Siri all of these questions, who knows what, but it's incredible. So as I said, so the Rebbe writes as follows. So, ki yesh chin shal emes, v'yesh chin shal sheker. I both say, this is incredible. The Rebbe says, so on one hand, the Rebbe says that a Jew possesses chin penimi amiti. The Jew possesses true inner chin. So the fact that the Rebbe discusses chin amiti, true chin, indicates to us that there's true chin and false chin. What's the difference between true chin and false chin? I'm about to listen to this. If he says, ki yesh chin shal emes, deyesh chin shal sheker. Kimo shapasek omer, sheker ha-chin. So we'll say, just like again, what does the pasuk in right in Eishes Chayil? Sheker ha-chin, vehevel ha-yofi. I'll tell you, mamish, like one time I was at a Sheva Brachas. Sometimes people, you have to be very careful how you use this pasuk. So somebody was trying to extol the virtues of the Kala. And I said, this Kala mamish lives up to the words of Shlomo HaMelech. Sheker ha-chin, vehevel ha-yofi. So the good news is most people didn't know what the pasuk meant. So it's like, so beautiful, so beautiful. But there were a few of us that recognized the translation and there was like, ay va vai. You know, when you want to give that sign to someone, you know, stop, just say Mazel Tov and make a l'chaim. In any event. So it says, but this is interesting. What does Shlomo HaMelech mean when he says, sheker achim? What does that mean? There's a false chaim. Listen to this. I will say, this is incredible. Da'inu, shekam l'sheker yesh chaim. Sometimes I will say, sheker, falsehood, could also have a chin associated with it. Ukufi ma shein ha emes mismait, kach chin ha sheker gover, ki ha sheker kiviyachol lokeach es ha chin ha ze'ilov, ulehefech, ki sha chin shal emes godel mismait ha chin shal sheker. People say this is incredible. Sometimes we put chin on the wrong things in life. Just because something finds favor, finds chin, doesn't mean that it's good. Because there is sheker ha-chin. Sometimes there's a chin that's sheker. Sometimes there's a chin, ultimately, again, that is false, that is not good. And so much of life is trying to figure out what is the chin ha-amiti and what is the chin ha-sheker. What are the things that are truly good? What are the things that should truly find favor? And what are the things we should disassociate from? V'zeh ma sheratza Rabbeinu lahadgish. Shebechola sha'adam, listen to this phrase. Shebechol sha'adam yachzik b'limud haTorah, shia emes, ken yizke lo'osa chen amiti, v'yigrom sheyis'ala ha'chen ha'amiti ba'olam. See, Rabbi say, now if we tie this back, so what did the Rebbe say? The Rebbe said that tefillah, as effective as it is, the full power of tefillah can only be unlocked how? Through Torah. The Rebbe now takes this a step further. Every Jew possesses chayin. Every Jew possesses chayin. But chayin could sometimes be sheker achayin, and sometimes it could be true chayin. How do you make sure that the chayin you're developing is a chayin shal emes and not a chayin shal sheker? Torah. It's the same idea. Torah refines the individual. When you learn, just like your learning activates your dialogical prowess and allows your tefillos to be heard, when you learn, you take your inner chen and make sure that is chen amiti and not chas v'shalom chen of sheker. Ulehefich, mi shelo yachzik b'limud haTorah, ayidei zeh, nofel l'bechinas sheker hachen, v'nosein koach l'chen shal sheker ligbar ala bepratios, v'al koizor b'chol yos chas v'chalila. So it says something amazing. What's the danger of Osai of not learning? What's the danger of not learning? The danger is that halacha lemaisa, you could associate chayin with all of the wrong things. Right, Rabbi Osai, don't we all fall into this trap at different times? Sometimes the things that we think are beautiful are not really that beautiful. In fact, not only are they not beautiful, but what? But at the end of the day, they're actually detrimental, harmful, and negative. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Right? So we'll say at the end of the day, there's sheker achein the hevel ayofi. We'll say, listen to what Shlomo Melech is saying. Listen to sheker achein the hevel ayofi. There are things that at the end of the day you think are beautiful and you think are good, but they're hevel, they're not good. So how do you know in life what's true chen and what's sheker hachen?
Torah.
I will say Torah essentially orients you in life. If a person is steeped in Torah, I will say sometimes when we think about steeped in Torah, so the image that comes to mind is what? You know, 12 hours a day in the base medrash. Well, if that's the case, none of us are steeped in Torah. Steeped in Torah, I will say, doesn't have to do necessarily with quantity. Steeped in Torah means that A, of course, I learn, and B, I glean my life hashkafas, my life outlook from Torah. A person who is rooted in Torah, first of all, is able to develop his own chayim. That's number one. Develop his own internal chayim. But I will say, in addition to that, what? In addition, is also able to have a real sense of what has chayim in the world. What is really beautiful? You know, I will say, you know what the great challenge of life is? There are some things that look really beautiful, but are mamish profoundly disgusting. And there are some things that may look a little bit unappealing, but are profoundly holy. And unless you see the world through the right kind of eyes, you could fall in love with everything that looks beautiful and is terribly unholy and miss out on a life of beautiful holiness just because it doesn't look as appealing. How do you make sure you're seeing what has true chen versus what is sheker hachen? Torah. Only if a person is steeped in Torah does he have the ability to truly see the world and to truly see himself for what they are. But say, let's go weiter. So this is really, it's just really incredible because we will say, don't we all struggle with this? What's beautiful, what's not so beautiful? And there are so many things in the world that look so beautiful. They look so great. They look so great. And again, objectively beautiful. I will say, Yona and I often have this discussion. You know, the Wall Street Journal has this section in the Friday edition. Mansions. It's incredible. It is mamish, absolutely incredible. I am literally fixated on it. Not because I don't need any of those mansions. I don't want any of those. But to me, it is incredible to see what appears to sometimes be the nature of material gluttony. Right? How much does one person really need? And above, you know what I see when I see that? Beautiful homes, magnificent architecture, everything fantastic. But really, it's a lot of people with a lot of emptiness, big voids, and trying to fill that void with something. But then you recognize that no matter how many garages you have, the void's still there. And no matter how many bedrooms or whatever, square footage or whatever else, the void is still there. It's an incredible mussar. Happens to just be beautiful to look at because the architecture, a lot of these things, is absolutely incredible, and it's incredible to see that the amount of wealth that exists in this country is absolutely incredible. And I will say, but it tells you, what beauty are you drawn to in this world? What is the beauty that you're drawn to? Are you drawn to true chayim, or are you drawn to sheker chayim? So he goes weiter. So let's do one more piece. Ki achshav. Look what the Rabbi says on the bottom of paragraph C. Yesh lahavin. Madua kishakasav al Yisrael hikti mesachin lechashivos. Shekasav hachin. Turn the page. Vachashivos al Yisrael. Vilu itzol ha'amim hikti mesachashivos lechim. So we'll say here, the Rebbe discusses something else which we're not going to get into. But essentially, Rabbi Nachman discusses by the Jews and humanity. By the Jews, he discusses chen and chashivos. Right? So I'll call chen and importance. Right? That's going back to the first paragraph. And then by the Umos only discusses chashivos and chen. Puts chashivos before chen. Why, says Rebbe? Look at paragraph D. This is incredible. V'nira levar b'siyat d'shmaya. Ki ha'isha Yisraeli nishmaso y'chelek elokam imal. For the Jew, his neshama is mamish a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lachem, yesh lo chen d'kedusha she'imahu nolad. So both said, this goes back to what we said before. Remember, how did the Rebbe begin? Torah Aleph, how did he begin? That every Jew has a chen pinimi amiti. Every Jew has a true internal chen. So we'll say, where does that chen come from? What is that a result of? That's a result, ultimately, again, of the fact that I'm a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My neshama is a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because there's a part of God in me, therefore I have an internal chen. V'lachen, yesh lo chen dikdusha sheimahu nolad ukechoshu ola batoro umezachich umekadesh esatzmo meir bo yoser v'yoser osa chen dikdusha. So we'll say now everything's beginning to come together. I have a chen pnimi. Why? Because I have a spark of God inside of me. That spark of God is called my neshama. That's my soul. That spark, it wasn't like any spark. The spark only becomes effective if what? If you fan it. How do you fan the spark of divinity inside of you? Torah. Torah is what fans the flame. So the more I learn and the more I do and the more I practice and the more I engage, the more I fan the flame of that spark of God inside of me. That creates the chen dikidusha. That creates the chen amiti. Lochem. Rabbeinu hiktim esachin lechashivos pechtel alamdenu. Shachin hu zeh shegorim lehudi liyos chashav ve'enei kol. But I'll say, listen to this. What gives you your chashivos in life? Right? Isn't this incredible? What gives you your chashivos? What makes you important in life? So for the Jew, you know what makes me important, Rabbeinu say? My chen is what makes me important. The stronger my chen is, the more apparent my chen is, the more I fan the flame of the spark of divinity inside of me, that creates my chashivos. That creates my importance. Nimtza shachen hu shagar l'chashivuso, v'chashivuso rak holeches u'gedeles. Well, see, this is an incredible idea. So if you ask, like, what makes a person important? In Yiddishkeit, the metric of my importance is how much have I fanned my flame. How much of my chen, when you see me and you interact with me, how much are you able to see my chen? The more my chen is apparent, the more my chen is a dominant part of my persona, the more chashiv I am. Contrast this, look at paragraph E. Ki eitz la'aman, this is different by the world. The world operates, I will say, on a different system of importance. Ki mishu ashir, o yesh lo tafkir gigon sar, o shal dechadome, Azaihu naase chashuv, machmas tavkido, o ashiruso. See, Rabbi say in the world, what defines importance? What defines importance? Status. Status as dictated by your wealth. Status as dictated by your position. But Rabbi say, what's incredible about this? Ubichlal chashivuso, hu motzichin b'nei abrios. In the world, Rabbi say that sometimes the way it works is a person has chashivos. But that chashivas has nothing to do with who I am. What is that chashivas from? Either what I have, what I possess, or what position I hold. As a result of my chashivas, I find chen. I find favor in the eyes of other people. But I will say, the chen that I achieve is an external chen. I find chen because of something external to me. I find chen in the eyes of others because of my wealth, because of my position, because of my standing. Ach, im yere migdulaso. Oh, so I was looking at you guys. Hu motzechin be'ini abrios. Right, as a result of my wealth, as a result of my position, I find favor in the eyes of people. Verotzim lios kimoso b'chavroso. People want to be my friend. I say, everybody wants to be friends with the gevir. Right? Everybody wants to be friends with the rich guy. Everybody wants to be friends with the influential person. Because at the end of the day, there's benefits for me to be friends with such a person. Ach, im yere migdulaso. But Rabbi say, if your chen comes as a result of your chashivos, of your external importance, then you find out something very quickly, which is, the moment the chashivos is gone, then what? The chen is gone as well. V'cho'osim anoshim, she'savavu oso, u'bikshu es kirvaso, Ye'almu kilohayu. And all the people who are my buddies, who are my friends, who couldn't wait to spend time with me, suddenly they're nowhere to be found. He goes on. Va'af echalo yiskra esimik dulas v'chashivus. And no one even remembers ultimately what I once was. Ki ha'chashivus shala ashir o hatafkit shahayalo hu shagar mechin. So mostly listen to what the Rebbe is describing. There are two different kinds of people in this world. There are people who their chen comes from their chashivus. Bo says there are some people, their chashivas comes from what? Chashivas is a result of status. Whether that's status because of your position, status because of wealth. So I have a chen because of my chashivas. That's nice. The only problem is, Bo says, that's not real chen. How do I know it's not Bil Chaim? How do I know it's not Bil Chaim? Because, right? Because the moment that the Cheshivas is gone, the Chaim is gone as well. So says Rabbi, what do we aspire for? We aspire for Chaim that creates Cheshivas. Not Cheshivas that creates Chaim, but Chaim that creates Cheshivas. And we'll say, what's right? That's the Chaim Amiti. We'll say, what's the Chaim that creates Cheshivas? That's the Chaim that comes when I fan the spark of divinity that is inside of me. I have an neshama, I have a soul. That soul is a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. The more I fan that flame through Torah, through Chesed, through Avodas Hashem Rabosai, the more my chain becomes visible and pronounced. And the more dominant my chain becomes, then I become chashuv in the eyes of the world. And Rabosai, that chashivos endures. Because that chashivos ultimately is not a result of something external. Not a result of status, it's not a result of wealth, but it's a result ultimately again of who I am, of a fanning of the flame on the inside. So the Rebbe teaches us, Rabosei, that ultimately again, now we begin to pull this all together. This is why, well, we'll get back to the tefillah piece next week, but we understand that our goal, our aspiration in life, Rabosei, is to find chen. Just like Noach Matza chen Be'inei Hashem, our job is to find chen in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of people. How do you find chen? Ultimately, again, by fanning your chen ha'amiti, understand that you have a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of you. And the more you stoke that internal spark with Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasodim, dynamic spiritual activity, the more dominant it becomes, the more apparent it becomes, and the more chashuv a person becomes in the eyes of others. Shabbat shalom. We'll stop over here for tonight. Va'adam. It could be. First, it has the Elohim, and then about beautiful.